The 2017 Service Improvement and Innovation in Universities Conference.
Jane, welcome to the Service Improvement and Innovation in Universities Conference here in Sydney.
Thank you. I'm enjoying the weather and the view.
We all are. You joined the tax office in 2007 as Deputy Commissioner Customer Service. What was the ATO like back then?
Well, certainly customer service was a very different concept, can I say that? We didn't have customers. We had taxpayers. And so I spent the first few years talking about our product being regulation. And so obviously we don't have the queues at our office that Apple might have at their office, for instance. However, the way in which we deliver has to be customer oriented. So it has taken quite a few years, and it's been a fairly long journey, but most of the tax office now get the fact that client experience is incredibly important if we're going to get people to voluntarily comply with their obligations. So very important outcome, and we've moved a long way.
Breaking down the silos within an organisation is often a challenging one, but you've had to do it. How much of that was extensive research and planning before you in fact executed any change?
Look, I think it's also a lot of trial and error. So we had come through what we called the change program, which essentially was changing all of our IT technology, which was a great idea and got us into a good position to be able to go forward, particularly into a digital era. However, we did it without thinking through the staff implications, the change requirements, etc. It was a technology project. We learnt a lot from that. Obviously, a lot of the processes were changed, for instance, but staff, being very versatile as they are, simply retrofitted their old ways into the new system. So we didn't leverage and optimise the outcomes that we were looking for. So by the time I arrived, you could certainly see the powerful impacts of not doing it in a way that was totally inclusive and thinking about change. This time, through our reinvention program, we've been very cognizant of the need to have a holistic approach to it. And, of course, to drop the silos. Now, that's not easy. You know, we're a very old organisation, 100 and something years now, 107. And, you know, traditionally we came up through state-based or regional-based offices who essentially were many tax offices. So you could do your own thing. You were, you know, your own master. So pulling together in a sort of national stream type organisation has been a big shift. And then, of course, teaching people to collaborate across business lines when it's such a big organisation has been quite a long process again. But with a common outcome of good client experience, you start to drive the right sorts of outcomes because they realise they can't do it by themselves. Life's just too difficult, too complex. You can't do it all within one particular business line. So we're not perfect, don't get me wrong. We've got a way to go yet, but we see a lot better cooperation now than we would have, say, 5 years ago.
You talked about many of the lessons that you learnt, and we know that staff, some, are always wary of change. What tactics did you use to ensure that they were at least were on board and continue to be supportive?
Yeah, look, they all have a common goal of doing the right thing by the community. So, you know, that's what public service is about. You don't join the public service to make a million. You're there because you want to do good for the public and create public value. So if you work from that perspective and then, of course, put them into the context, so why do we have to change? Now, we had to change because we were starting to lose trust with the community in the sense that it was almost a fear factor as to why you would comply with the tax office. And to this very day, you know, if you go to a barbecue and somebody says, who do you work for? You sort of take that deep breath and say, the ATO, and you sort of get this almost physical, you know, step back moment. And so how do we encourage the community to understand we are actually here to help? It is true. Yes, you do have to do certain things. That's not a question. It's not voluntary. But we can certainly do it in a much better way, and we can help you comply. So we still have staff who don't like the change, who don't think it's the right way to do things. I think we'll put the financial part of the economy at great risk, because we won't be driving, you know, getting that last dollar that is owed, can I say? You know, we never want to go beyond it, but it's trying to get the balance right with what's the right outcome here. Everyone needs to be paying their fair share, and that's what we're really focused on. So, again, majority of staff get it, absolutely on board with it. Some staff will struggle with it, but that's the normal change curve. So, and that's okay. If this isn't their place for them any longer, that's fine. We'll support them through whatever career shift they might want to make.
The nature of universities is traditionally characterised by competition. But what advice do you have for educators who have to work in a competitive environment but know the importance of working together?
Yeah, I guess one of our great learnings was really embracing the concept of partners and what that means. And in our space, when we for instance, work with vendors, etc., which we need to do, so our digital service providers, because we're going digital, you know, our initial response and a lot of our staff go, oh, but they're just in it to make money. Well, reality is, if they don't make money, we don't want to partner with them because they're probably not very good at what they do. So we've had to really work the cultural shift around that and go, you know, no, we've got to partner with the best. And I think the trick to partnering is having that common objective that you're looking for, understanding the mutual obligations in there, but knowing, you know, when to partner and when not, when are you in competition. So being clear about what is the outcome that you're looking for, what are the rules of the game, if you will. And there are certainly points in time where anyone should be able to partner to get a better outcome for both sides. And there are moments at which you know what it is you're probably not going to talk about or be able to share. But often, you know, that's well understood on both sides. So I really think it's just about understanding the framework you're in and what you're trying to achieve.
And does that strategy also apply when you're partnering externally, say with the local or state government, industry and or community?
Yes, very much so. I mean, we're trying to approach that obviously from a community or client perspective. We know majority of community don't really understand the systems of government, and I guess from our perspective we're saying, and why should they? So we're pretty sure they know who the ATO is, for obvious reasons, but they don't really understand who does what. So what's local, what state, what, you know. So how do we work together to deliver on a sort of holistic approach to the various quite wicked problems that we're trying to deal with in the community? So we try wherever possible to work with each of the levels of government to try and deliver on the or optimise on the best outcome. And obviously, you know, we all have different agendas and objectives that we're trying to deliver on. But there are ways in which we can cooperate to get a good outcome. And sometimes we can do it in a way that it appears to be seamless to the citizen. And that's probably the best objective. We understand, you know, for instance, the best tax advice or interaction or service is probably no need for service at all. You know, if they never heard from the tax office again, many people would be incredibly happy. So our objective is how do we make it so easy to comply that it's just happening? You know, it's in the background.
How have you measured successful change, and what advice would you have for those who are working towards that and need to see some sense of success?
So we did very much approach it as a cultural shift as well. And so when we first started talking about our reinvention program and what we wanted to do, why we wanted to do it, we also talked about have we got the right cultural traits that are going to help us through this journey. And so we actually did a formal assessment and benchmarked where are we today? What are the cultural traits that we exhibit most? And certainly some were great and we wouldn't want to lose them, but others were going to put, you know, inhibit and put barriers in front of us. And that would be things like silo-based thinking, you know, risk-averse, all of those sorts of things. And so we talked to staff about, well, you know, do we want to change? And the answer was yes. And so we did a lot of work with staff to actually produce what are the traits we actually want to move toward. And that took probably about 80 months to really nail down and understand, you know, what does it mean for me and my job? So we're at that point now where we're just refreshing our cultural strategy, and we will measure. Have we shifted? Have we shifted towards those sorts of attributes? And what sort of outcomes can we talk about that show the difference in thinking from 4 years ago to now and what the outcomes are? And I guess one of those shifts is, though, we don't want to have to do it in a project management style. So we're not going to do the classic ROI on every project that we've been doing for the last 4 years. I mean, that'll happen within its normal process. But for a reinvention program, that was a strategy. So a strategy is about outcomes, and that will take years, really. But we can see now we're starting to deliver on things. And it's things like our leave is reducing, you know, our unplanned sick leave, it's compensation reducing, it's a lift in all of our customer perception figures. So it's those broader measures that are telling us we're actually on the right path and heading the right way. So we'll refresh now again and start thinking through what is it we have to do next to take it to the next level.
When learning from others, what should we be looking for?
I think, you know, often when you talk about learnings, you talk about what went wrong and what can we learn from that. I guess one of the things that personally I've learned is that you also need to look at what went right and how do you do it even better next time. And, you know, we talk about that a lot. How do we actually step up? And the things that we didn't do so well, should we be doing them? You know, is it something we should be getting a partner in, or et cetera? Let's not waste time and energy trying to build up capability in a space maybe we're just not meant to be in. So I think it is that stepping back, how well did we deliver? What is it that we did really well? What are the things we didn't do so well? And should we build it or should we ship it out?
Jane King, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.